signs of life. Please don't tell me that the human race did not survive. There are no people in the future. There are no people. There are no people in the future. No people at all. There are no people in the future. Where did all my people go? There are no people in the future. Let me try my people call.
Welcome, everybody, to another Raging Chicken Out to Coop Live. I'll tell you, we're trying out a bunch of new things tonight, and I find myself, I don't know which way to look, right? So we've got some new windows, and now it's I've got some new comment sections, and oh my god, it's crazy. Welcome to Raging Chickens Out to Coop Live. Yes, it is our call-in show, listener participation show, whatever you want to call it, for Monday, May 10th, 2021. On Out to Coop Live, we talk to progressives, activists, and troublemakers of all sort, right from our own backyards and from across the country. On Fridays, Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics for our weekly news review. And you can get both by subscribing to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But you can only participate live right here Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Or, you can always if you're listening to this in our podcast afterwards and you're bummed out, you say, oh man, what am I going to do? How am I going to make sure I can participate live? Well, you can always head over to our YouTube page. Make sure you just go to our YouTube page. You hit that subscribe button. You hit that little bell that says, give you those notifications every time we go live. You get a notification. And make sure that you like the stream while you're listening tonight, please, folks. That helps get the word out. You'd be surprised, right? It really, really does. We are also piloting tonight our live Discord chat during the show. And somewhere, if you look in the show notes on our YouTube page, in there, I've put the link down there for the invite to the Discord if you want to jump on there. You can also jump on our live comments on our YouTube channel. I'm kind of trying to monitor all this stuff at once, which is pretty fun. But while you're at it, you're thinking about it, yes, I like to come here every Monday night. It's fantastic. You can help support this show. You can become a patron for as little as $5 a month. Go to patreon.com/rcpress. And if you're listening to the show live, nothing better that you can do is kind of share it with your friends right now and say, hey, why don't you come on over and join us right now? It'd be fantastic. You can help out this show by, as I said before, making sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just go to look for Raging Chicken Media over on YouTube and you just kind of subscribe. Hit that like button for the stream. Click on those notifications and so on. There you go. I want to give a special shout out to our new May patrons. Yes, thank you to Jillian for hopping in at the $10 a month level. Whoop, whoop. And thanks to Christopher, who may be inspired by Jillian. Maybe got a little kind of competition going on there. I don't know what it is. But Christopher upped his patron level from $5 a month to the $10 a month level. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And special thanks to you and for what you've actually enabled right here by becoming a patron of Raging Chicken is the launch of a new show. Yes, that's right. On Wednesdays, we don't know if at this point it's going to be weekly or bi-weekly at this point. Probably bi-weekly to start, and we'll see how it goes. But we bring you a new show on Wednesdays, and it will feature... we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Yes, for more PA Progressive Talk, tune into the Rick Smith Show's live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern on his YouTube channel, Twitter feed, Facebook feed, wherever you get your feeds, you're going to find Rick right there. And, while you're at it, you can go check out thericksmithshow.com. You can find out his regular podcast. You can subscribe to his podcast there. You can go find out all about his show on Free Speech TV on every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Go check it all out. And if you haven't already, I don't know what you're waiting for, but you must check out the newly launched Sisters of the Night podcast. I'm going to have to kind of change this up a little bit because it's not really newly launched anymore. And we're going into, I think, episode 4 now, right? Pretty, pretty freaking cool. Pretty cool. I'm so excited. Our next episode drops on Wednesday featuring State Senator Amanda Cappelletti. Yes, from the PA 17th. Yes, these amazing women stirring the political cauldron behind the podcast rock the house and they know where the bodies are buried. Yep. Make sure to follow them on Twitter too as well at the Night Caucus. That's at the Night Caucus on Twitter. And attention gamers, The Game Inn is a Quakertown-based black family-owned gaming store. They're friends of the show, and they've got everything for retro N64s, latest consoles, video games, all platforms, collectibles, action figures, and Funko Pops. Yeah, you get it. They got it all. And if you got kids, well, chances are, if you go to the gaming store, right, you might have kids. They get discounts with every A on the report card. Like, fabulous family. Happens to be the family, the parents of one of my son's best friends run the place. It's absolutely fantastic. Check them out on their Facebook page at The Game Inn. That's two N's. On Twitter, at The Game Inn. You can kind of ask them any question you want. Look for something special. Go to thegameinnpa@gmail.com. You can email them, drop them a line, or, you know, thegameinnwith2ends.com, and they'll give you all the information there. Do check them out. Special shout out to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at songadayman. That's songadayman with two N's. Thank you, Jonathan Mann, for the song. So on today's show, we've got kind of a call-in show, test show, as it were. And I'll give you a little bit of the background before we kind of launch into some of the things. I mean, I've got some things. I've always got stuff to talk about. I've got some sound tonight that we can play from last week's Pashi hearings. We can also talk a little bit about, The New Yorker ran a piece this week featuring the one, the only, Doug Mastriano, yes, the Christian nationalist himself, gets billing right off the top of the bat. Look at that. Yeah, for those folks on YouTube right now, look at him like that. Looks like a little Mussolini right there, huh? Yeah, there you go. Doug Mastriano, everybody. But he featured prominently in the New Yorker this weekend. So that's always something, you know, always when PA gets a shout out, even if it's for the proto-fascists among us. So that's kind of part of it. One of the things that we're also doing tonight is we're trying out a new platform. As you know, normally on Out to Coop Live on Monday nights, we normally would stream on Podbean, right? I like Podbean as a way of interacting with guests, right? That's where our podcast is still hosted and everything like this. And if it had not been for their live platform, then I probably wouldn't be doing a Monday night show. It made it really simple, made it really straightforward. And so I really liked it. But I kept on running into a couple issues, right? And a couple issues were simply, it was a bit cumbersome on the guest side, right? So in order for a guest to join, they had to join on their cell phone, and they had to download the app, and there was a multi-step process. And look, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't that big of a deal, right? Had some great guests on, you know, but there was a couple times which we ran into some, you know, fairly significant problems that cut off to rely on. And, you know, frankly, and I had a couple people being like, what? You mean I can't log on from my computer? I want to be able to log on from a computer. I don't want to hold a phone while I'm talking, right? And I totally get it, right? And so if we're going to grow the show, I wanted to find a way that we can actually have the easiest experience for getting guests on. So we're trying out a platform called Riverside.fm. I did a research over kind of like a month and a half or so of some different kind of possibilities. It comes with a little bit of a price tag, but you know, it's comparable to some of the other options. And the thing that I like most about it was, one, it's one of these things where you send somebody a link, they click on the link, they don't need to download anything, but they can join, check out their cameras, and so on. Secondly, it's got like a little audio meter in the middle of the show, so you can actually see, you can adjust individual guests' audio live during the show, which is very, very helpful when you're recording. It also records HD audio. Basically, it's called like a local recording. So basically, each person, you have to log in through Chrome. That's the one background. I don't know why I'm telling you all this right now, but whatever. You have to log in through Chrome, and as you are recording, it'll kind of gradually upload the stream when there's space available, right? The benefit of that's a local recording that's uploaded, that even if the connection is not great through the internet, like if you're going on Zoom or Skype or something like this, where you kind of get that hazy stuff, you're running the connection stuff, even if that's the case where you're running into those things, you're still getting the HD audio that's getting uploaded, which is really nice, so that even if you run into some technical problems with internet connections, you've got a much higher chance of saving the recording for the podcast. So that's it. And then finally, it was able to preserve a listener call-in thing. So for those folks, I know a bunch of folks were kind of, you know, writing me throughout the week and asking about this a little bit. And I said, yeah. You build a kind of call in, but it's a little bit of a different process. And I frankly haven't done it yet. So later on in the podcast, I'm going to, you know, beg some people if you want to try it out a little bit. In the YouTube stream, in the kind of description of the show, there's a link there to join on Riverside FM. And what we'll be able to do at some point in the evening is that you hit there's a little call in button, I guess. Right, I haven't fully scoped this out. I did this a couple times with my son, but I want to do something live. I want to be messy live, right? That's kind of how I work, right? So, to see if people will be willing to kind of try that out, and we'll see what happens and see how the recording is and see what it's like on your side too as well. It's something that I'm going to also, for those patrons who are out there who are tuning in, I'm also going to be kind of bugging you about it down the road too, just to see if I can get folks that want to come in. Okay, look, there's a Dan calling in with the following question. Lucy, Charlie Brown, and a football. I guess we're going to try this out right now. Let me see if we can. Dan, are you there? Dan, how are you, Dan? Oh, look at this. This is not just any Dan. This is the one, the only.
Just here to be your guinea pig, my friend. And the only reason.
Yeah, you got your So we right now it should echo cancellation is now turned on because you weren't a good boy. You didn't kind of put your headphones on, so that's the kind
all
of
right. We got the feedback loop.
Yes, indeed. But cool. No, this is good. So right now, for those of you folks who are on YouTube right now, who are kind of watching this right now, you're hearing Dan's voice coming in. We're not recording the video. We're just recording the audio, but we can see each other on here. And that's kind of how the call kind of works. Very cool, man. Well, thanks. Well, listen, I'm going to do some more call-ins a little bit later on the show. You got any questions or things you want to do? You're here to be the guinea pig. It's getting a little delay, I guess. Well, we'll check back with you in a little bit.
Oh, you know, I mean, you want to talk about, hang on. Okay. Yeah, you should be hearing me.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to disconnect now. We're going to come back in a little bit because I'm getting some weird feedback, okay?
All right, Kevin, I'm getting used to the delay.
All right, here, I'm going to, Dan, I'm just going to, I'll come back to you maybe in a little bit. I want to see if we can kind of figure that out. He's getting a little delay on the on his side and so on. But we're going to get into a couple things here off the bat. I just want to give a little bit of introduction, then I'll take some more calls. If anybody got some things you want to talk about, I've got some sound we can play from Pashi kind of a little bit, and then maybe Dan can call back in. We'll see if we can work that out. So the idea is that, you know, just like you saw there. Thank you, Dan, for hopping on for a second. We're going to see if and how this will work out. The other big thing we've got going on now is, as I kind of alluded to at the top of the show, was we've got our Discord is up and running. It's been something that my son has actually been he has been bugging me about for a while. He's like, Dad, like, come on, like, you've got a podcast. Why don't you have, you know, a Discord, right? Why aren't you on Discord? I'm like, well, because of doing this other thing and you get the comments over here and all of that. But finally, I thought, you know what, I would like to be able to kind of continue the conversations a little bit more. Like, I have a space for kind of not just our patrons, but our listeners and supporters, to be able to hop on and have that conversation. And yet another way to stream live chat during the show. So right now, what I'll do is I'm going to throw this right down I'm going to throw this down in the YouTube chat right now, too, as well. If anybody does want to join us on the Discord right now, I'll be pretty good. And then I saw Dan's comment. Just want to talk about history repeating itself again. We'll definitely come back to that one, too, as well. So we got the Discord channel. And what I'm going to do for each of our shows is, you know, usually after the show, we kind of log off. And then I'm just, you know, doing some editing and that kind of stuff. I'm just going to keep the Discord up just to kind of continue the conversation. Anybody has any questions, thoughts, concerns, and that kind of thing. So that's kind of where we're at. Yeah, I've got a bunch of things. So let me just play a little bit of sound, and then I'll kind of say open it up to anybody who wants to try to call in. Please drop in any questions, any comments that you may have. You could do that on our YouTube channel. You could do that in Discord. There's actually a way in our chat basically to comment to as well. Shanna, I'm too kind. Thank you. You're too kind. Shanna just dropped in the chat in Riverside, which is fantastic. So I can see how that's coming up there. That's really helpful. Dan, yes, that is true. Dan says, I think there's something to my listening on YouTube and using Riverside simultaneously. I'm thinking of me to get off YouTube while on Riverside. I think that's probably true because that's what's giving you the feedback. So that if there's a way, if you notice in the link on YouTube, there's a link to join. You can actually listen and watch right on Riverside. And that's probably the best way to join in. So Shanna said, yes, there was a delay. I had to open at first also too. That's great to know. So that basically what I'm going to have to do then is I'm gonna have to push out the link to Riverside for those folks who might want to kind of call in. And, that's a good alert that I can let everybody know about YouTube. So this is what, you know, this is what it's all about right now, as far as I'm concerned. This is the only way I can really test this stuff is to do something live. And you know what? I was talking to kind of an old friend of mine not too long ago about, how we've done virtually everything. You know, we were doing like zines and things like this back in college. We experimented with some, alternative publications for as long as I can remember. Done radio shows over the years. Tried out blogs when blogs were first coming out. And, you know, our MO, this is kind of what my friend of mine who I was talking about, was like, has always been to kind of like, all right, going to jump in, you're going to get messy, and then you're going to figure stuff out. And it makes some folks extraordinarily uncomfortable because you're basically laying things bare and saying like, okay, here I got, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm going to make a mess in public. But you know what? I've always found that, and this is something I encourage my students a lot, is like, you know, if you include people from the beginning and not try to pretend that you're always going to be aiming for perfection at every single level, then you actually, you know, you can build community around that, right? Because you're participating in something together. So that's how I've always thought about that. Now, obviously, there's times when you want to be as perfect as possible. I'll just let you know, this place right here, it's not one of them. So we have. So welcome Nick too as well. I'm glad you jumped on the YouTube stream. Fantastic. So let me just play a little bit of sound and then just gonna see what folks have, what questions that folks may have. So as we know, this like Pashi, you know, they're doing all these consolidation plans with Pashi, and they're closing, well, whatever. They're merging three schools in the Northeast into one. They call it the Northeast, although Lock Haven's in the dead center of the state. And then in the West, they're merging three universities into one out there. And there's been all these kind of claims about it. There's some hearings that are being held now. And it's a lot of misdirection, a lot of problems. So there was a hearing just last week, and you know, Chancellor Greenstein's there. And if you know, people have been following this guy at all, you know, he's getting more and more nervous as the days go on, because there's getting more and more public resistance. So people actually, you know, I think they've trusted him. They thought like, okay, we're going to put our faith in you. You say you know what you're doing, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to do these things. And then they get this report and they say, well, wait a minute. I thought you were the smart guy. I thought you had all these answers. I thought you'll figure it out. And this is kind of, these aren't like real answers to questions. These are like hopes and dreams, right? And so there's been increasing pressure being put on about the economic impact and so on. So as one way to start out, I want to give you Representative Emily Kincaid. She had a piece where she got up and questioned him. She's like, look, you know, I read the entire report. Like last time we talked, I said, I was, you know, was reading through it. I was going to have some questions and I read through it and I'm disappointed that my questions aren't answered. But I got a bunch of questions. And I also want to play a little bit of the sound from her. Let's see if this comes through. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Chancellor, for joining us here today. So this is a joint hearing of the Education and Appropriations Committees, and I'm here as a member of the Appropriations Committee. So my questions for you and my concerns about this plan all have to do with economic impact here in Pennsylvania. So you have cited a number of times now that the consolidation...
Oops, sorry about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Chancellor, for joining us here today. So this is a joint hearing of the Education and Appropriations Committees, and I'm here as a member of the Appropriations Committee. So my questions for you and my concerns about this plan all have to do with economic impact here in Pennsylvania. So you have cited a number of times now that the consolidation plan projects 80 jobs lost in the Northeast and 60 jobs lost in the West.
Now, just a little something here. This number about 80 jobs lost in the Northeast, that's the consolidation of Bloomsburg University, Mansfield University, and Lock Haven University. There'll be 80 jobs lost there, and there'll be 60 jobs lost in the West, right? California University, Edinburgh University, and Clarion University. So this is something that is in this consolidation plan that the Chancellor Greenstein was directed under this Act 50 to report about and deliver this about the impact of these mergers of this consolidation. All right. And he keeps on coming back to this number. We figure 80 job loss in Northeast, 60 in the West. Yeah, it's 150, you know, 140, you know, but who's counting, right? Just 140. And he says most of these, about half of them are going to be lost through retirement, right? Or by other means, like people just kind of not being renewed. Right. So he's not kind of, he's basically saying, okay, yeah, we're just kind of pushing some folks out. Okay. So there you go. So let's go now.
How many layoffs were there pre-consolidation?
I have the number, and I'm gonna have to get back.
I'm sorry. I just realized I got the wrong sound up. This is Leanne Krueger, Representative Leanne Krueger, who's asking this question. I'm sorry. The wrong sound got loaded up for this thing. But let's go with Krueger here. So she comes in. She's on the Appropriations Committee, and she's basically kind of pointing to exactly this issue. You say that there's these number of job losses, and we want to know how many were lost pre this consolidation.
With the total number, but the total number of reductions are in line with. Will be in line with the reductions in enrollment.
Can you give us a ballpark figure? Are we talking 10, 20, 100, 1,000?
Yeah, if enrollment's down 21% across the state, so I can give you a ballpark. On the faculty side, it's about 780 is the number that I think I used in my testimony, of which half were so far have been achieved through retirement, which is a great thing. Half have been achieved through the non-renewal of short-term contracts.
So 780 jobs.
I think
lost.
That's the projection through 2022, but I'm going to have to get back to you with a real number.
Okay. So why is this important, right? This is where, like, Representative Krueger asked exactly the right question, because there's been these numbers that have been out there in the world now that have been reported on the media, where Greenstein keeps on using these numbers, 80 lost in the Northeast and 60 lost in the West. Okay. And then he throws up his hands and says, I don't know where people are getting these other numbers for. Right. I addressed this on, I think, I don't know, it was last week's Out to Coop Live or last week's Out to Coop, where even getting some faculty members would be like, well, I don't trust this economic impact study done by this, you know, these political economists from out in UMass. Right. You know, they released the Perry report, the economic impact of the PASHE employment reductions. I don't care if these folks are award winning economists. Right. Their numbers are obviously skewed because the chancellor says it's only 140, right? Not 2,000 or not 1,500 plus in direct job loss and 2,200 plus in kind of overall economic impact loss, right? And the reason is, right, and this is said right in the report, is that the report was commissioned last fall, right? And the report looked at the plans that had been delivered and put it into works at that point, the documents that had been submitted at that point. Right. So this idea about transformation, right? This whole idea about system redesign, that was the analysis of the economic impact. Okay. And so this system redesign, as Chancellor Greenstein acknowledges multiple times all throughout his discussion, right? His testimony before the House, right? These joint committee hearings before the Board of Governors. He is relying on the numbers of the direct impact of these consolidations, right? Post consolidation, right? Or directly results from consolidation, not the lead up to consolidation, not the work that had done last year. No, just that moment. And he acknowledges this later on in the hearing. He basically says, like, look, we followed the letter of the law. The letter of the law said that we were to deliver this report that was going to discuss the impacts of consolidation. And that's what we've done. Right. What's missing from that, of course, and this is where he plays with the numbers. And the guy is too smart not to know this fact. Right. The difference is that the system redesign, and this is exactly what the Perry report says, the system redesign is primarily a job elimination process. It is primarily about eliminating people. It's austerity, just dressed up in different ways, right? So even later on in this, and when I'm not going to play sound of him later on, but even later on in this discussion, he basically says, I don't know who these Perry people are. I mean, I'm sure they're good economists, but they're obviously not involved with higher education, right? As if it's like he has the only key to, like, you know, the vision of all of this. But this is true of all these folks that come out of Silicon Valley and so on, right? So that's number one. So let me stick with Representative Krueger here again here. So here's a little bit later in the testimony, which she kind of wants to dig down.
In the absence of an economic impact study conducted by the system itself, the Political Economy Research Institute at University of Massachusetts released their own local economic impact study of the impacts of this plan. And in the absence of data from you, this is the data we've got to go on. And it showed that due to layoffs of the two trios, we'd see a total of $6 million lost annually in the state and local tax revenue. Now, you keep telling us that the impacts are limited, but the estimated total savings of your entire consolidation plan over 5 years is only $18.4 million. So why haven't the economic impacts been reflected in this plan? $6 million is not a small amount of money in my mind.
So a couple things. $18.9 million is a ongoing savings that compounds at 2% a year, so it's $100 million over five-ish. The Act 50 asks us for the impact of integration. The reductions that we've just been talking about result from the fact that we've lost in four of those schools between 40 and 50% of their enrollments. So, I mean, I would ask you, you have a school, it's down by 40% in students. What would you expect to see amongst the faculty? And let me add to that, you have a school, it's down by 40% in its enrollments, and your son or daughter is there, and they pay the cost, 75% of the cost of every member of faculty and staff salaries. And then I'm gonna go one step further. You have a school which is down 40 to 50% in its enrollments. How many staff and faculty reductions would you expect when your child is picking up 75% of the cost of salaries and children at other universities are now also contributing?
Okay, so now what he's doing here, right, is that he's saying, look, what are we going to do, right? Instead of responding directly to what she's asking about, right, what she's trying to pin him down on there, of course, is, you know, well, I mean, she said it. I mean, I don't need to repeat it. I mean, she's basically saying how many of these people were gone before. And he wants to divert it to talk about students now. Then he talks about these reductions. Now, let's remember, you know, this is something that, Vincent Hughes, right, Senator Vincent Hughes has always said. It's like when the state system was designed, right, it was recognized that if you wanted to deliver, like, high-quality education, higher education, right, at affordable costs is within the mission, especially in rural areas and underserved urban districts, right? But especially the rural areas, right? They were not going to be like sustainable, quote unquote, in a sense, like a business would be sustainable. The whole idea is it worked together as a system to make sure that everybody had this access. So to put it in other ways, like Mansfield University, which is always the kind of like, you know, the university that takes it on the chin every step of the way. Mansfield University, they always knew Mansfield University didn't have like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that live down the street that could actually could be potential students there. No. Right. And yes, as population begins to decline, right, then there's going to be some pushing. Right. And then obviously you can over time, there's some kind of a natural process. But what he's basically saying, he's using that and saying, yes, those students are going to have to pay 75% of the faculties. Why? Well, because the state system and the Democrats and Republicans alike, I have to say this, over the course of 40 years have significantly cut, right, funding to public higher education. Pennsylvania is anywhere between 47th to 50th in the country. 50th is the extreme. It's really like 47th or 48th in the country in terms of public higher education funding, right? That is the real culprit here. That's where the 75% figure comes from, right? Saying parents and students are paying that 75%, right? Because the state has kind of like walked away from its responsibilities, right? And now what Greenstein does is said, yes, and now if you have a student, well, he doesn't say it exactly, but what he says, if you're a student at Westchester University, right, not only are you paying 75% of the salaries of people at Westchester universities, but you're also having to pay some of the money of those faculty up in Mansfield. Is that right? That you're going to have to pay for somebody else that you don't even know, faculty you don't even know? For those like rural people up there in Mansfield, that's what that's all about, right? And he does that over and over and over again. So kind of it's pretty crazy. So anyways, I've got more stuff, but if you know, there's I got lots more to dig down into. Representative Peter Schroer had a great statement too as well. But if anybody wants to try to kind of call in, you want to kind of check it out, you got something to say, I would love to hear what you've got to say. We've worked out a couple of the kinks already. You realize that if you're down in the YouTube, if you're looking at the YouTube channel, and I put the link to over to Riverside, right? Put the link over to Riverside, and then you want to get it to call in on Riverside, then you're going to have to kind of either kind of mute your YouTube, right? And just listen to what's happening at Riverside, because I guess there's a delay if you're trying to do both at the same time. So my apologies on that. But yes, if anybody does want to call in, if you want to give it another shot, if you got something to say about history repeating itself over and over again, we can give it another round. Anybody else, if you'd like to give it a whirl, love to hear what you've got to say. Okay, Dan's going to try it again. Let's see what we can do. Dan, you're back. Dan, are you there? All right, we're going to try this one again. maybe not.
All right, Kevin, I'm not hearing nothing.
You're not hearing nothing.
I'm going to put on the YouTube and try and read lips.
Okay, do you have headphones?
Nah, you got too much whiskers. Here's what I'm going to do.
All right, Dan, tell me what's going on.
Here's what I'm
going
to do. Tell me what's going on. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to get off the call, and then I'm going to put YouTube back on. How does that work? Give me a thumbs up on the screen. We good?
We're good.
All right, here we go. Look. We've known each other nearly 20 years, and every story has the same ending, right? So look, first of all, whenever they want to do something, they ignore the stakeholders. They have a sham representative process. That's what they have right now. I'm not really in the loop at all for providing any feedback. I don't think any faculty are, except those who are on that one committee they formed. And the other thing, and I wish we could have a dialogue right now, but I'm a computer scientist, and I don't know what the hell is going on, but either way.
I know what's going on. I can tell you afterwards.
If you go back to like the ACA, you know, they wanted to give everybody health care, but what was the overriding thing that they wanted with the ACA? They wanted to make sure that they protected the interests of the insurance companies. That was the number one thing of the ACA. It wasn't to give people health insurance. That was a side effect they hoped for. What our system does is they start with a conclusion. And the conclusion was that they have to make sure the legislature is not at all accountable for what is happening to this system. They're letting the legislature off the hook. Everything they're doing is deflecting any blame from being placed precisely where it should be placed, and that's the legislature. If you're 100%. Not going to get any more money to fund education in the state that's in the bottom five, probably in the bottom two in this country, then how can you expect to get any sort of decent results? So I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to come back on YouTube. I'm going to open YouTube for a second, and let's see if you get feedback. Any
sort of... Yeah, I'm hearing your echo. Yeah, so okay, so here's the deal. So let me take a one kind of two things here. So one, I've figured one thing out. It was a question I got answered in terms of the tech end of things. But then I want to point to the main point that Dan was just making there. I agree 100%. The main culprit here has to do with the Pennsylvania state legislature. There's no doubt about it. Right. And we can say, look, as long as it is dominated by Republicans, we could lay it at the feet of kind of Republicans. But there have also been a lot of Democrats over the years that have also bought into the kind of austerity logic. Right. I mean, this is, you know, this in the post, say, Reagan years, this was often seen to be as the number one way to get elected. You have to be for tax cuts, right? You know, want to kind of get rid of government, like Bill Clinton, right? The era of big government is over, right? Finish the Reagan agenda, Bill Clinton, at least on that score. And this has been one of the, you know, the effects, right? We have the neoliberal logic, right? Which has been like dominated both political parties up until recently. Now we've got kind of whatever, kind of white nationalism and kind of white identity kind of dominated one party. And we have a kind of wide umbrella and a power struggle over how we're going to understand kind of responding to major crises. Right. And this is something this is the one thing I decided not to pull in the sound, but it's too bad because it would have been perfect right now. There is one thing that Greenstein says at the very end of the hearing, this last hearing from last week. And he basically says, look, I said from the beginning that this is a partnership, that we have to do our part to reinvent whatever higher education, but then you're going to have to do your part and fund that. And thus far, the legislature has not done their part and has not funded that. And he got a little testy, right? And if you've watched carefully the hearings over the years, you find that this is one thing that he just dances around, right? He'll basically say, Well, yes, there are other options, like we could adequately fund public higher education, or we could close some schools, but he's never been really committed to those positions, right? And one of the things that Representative Krueger, right, and Representative Kincaid, what they both make, one of the points that they make in those hearings is like, look, especially like Representative Emily Kincaid, she basically came and said, look, I think we're putting the cart before the horse here, right? There's been no economic impact study, right? You're kind of showing us what you expect to happen without ever actually having kind of explanations of how it's going to happen. It's supposed to happen by magic. She doesn't say these words. She's much more polite than I am being right now. And she's, but just all these series of questions, right? I'm reading through like, well, how are students going to be? And how are faculty actually going to be treated? What's going to happen to these sports teams? And, you know, what's going to happen to mental health services? Like all these questions that you've been asked and there's been no answers in this report. You told us to wait for the report. We waited for the report. We got the report and there's no answers here. Right. And I think she was especially frustrated because, you know, in the kind of initial hearings before the report, like the last time that they had these kind of major hearings, she was told directly in response to her questions, that'll be in the report. Yes, I hear your questions. Send me your questions. I will look at them. And none of them responded to. I mean, I'd be freaking pissed. I don't know how like she held it together because I would be pissed. I'd be so mad if I was up there. Thank you, Scout. I got to watch my mouth. My daughter's here. She's my live-in censor. But that's really that, you know, that's been the problem. And one of the things that Greenstein has done is that he's kind of deferred all these questions, and he's going to go moving forward with his plan. And basically what's happened is because he's made a determination, right, that, okay, yes, the state system of higher education needs to be funded, right? But I really don't want to kind of like push too hard on the state legislators, right? Because then I might lose my job. I might not be able to kind of, you know, have my book contract or launch my new higher education consulting group after all this, because I really do think that's what he's going to do. No, no, no. So I'm just going to be gentle with them, at least in public, and then I'm going to go after everybody else, right? I'm going to eliminate jobs. I'm going to eliminate kind of, you know, programs. I'm going to tell people to trust me and take the leap, and then we'll go there. And like, look, and it may be true that after like the smoke clears, that these institutions will survive, right? But survival is not thriving, right? I mean, he's saying the promise that in order to deliver high quality public higher education in Pennsylvania, you have to do all these things. But I mean, he himself admits that he can only do that. That end is only achievable if you have a legislature that is willing to do the hard work of funding. Right? And you had Democrats and Republicans on the Education Appropriation Committee that asked some questions. I wish I brought in some of their sound too as well. Democrats too, right? Let me be clear. Basically saying, well, nobody can pay any more taxes. Bull. Bull blank. Right? Hey. I said blank. I said blank. But I said, you know, no, no, no. How about you end the Delaware loophole, right? I mean, this is like Rick Smith, I remember for years and years and years. This is what Rick always talked about, right? You end the Delaware loophole. Stop, you know, prevent these corporations that are based in Pennsylvania for locating, get a post office box in Delaware so they can not pay any taxes, right? Donna Cooper, right? Donna Cooper was always, I mean, she used to come on his show all the time, and she used to say, right, she's a phenomenal kind of like analysis, like analyst and things like this. She's a, you know, kind of, I think she was a Clinton person, but she was like really on the mark when it came to like a kind of economic and state analysis and stuff. And she used to say it all the time. Look, it's just about will. Right? It's just about will. And the fact of the matter is that there hasn't been the will to actually do this. People making a case, you know, and frankly, like, look, as much as Senator like Vincent Hughes has done kind of to like lead the champion, you know, his father was involved with the founding of the state system is a story that we hear every time that these hearings come up. And I think it's important. I want to be clear. I'm not diminishing that. I'm saying that story is important to be told and retold over and over again. But it doesn't have any effect anymore. We need people to fight for a different vision of what we're going to do here in Pennsylvania. Right. And frankly, the governor Wolf is not, you know, OK, yes, he's put like increases of education in there. He's been decent in K-12, like compared to his predecessors. But, you know, there's not really a vision there. It's just kind of like, yeah, we need more. We need to do these things. We need to adequately fund this stuff. OK, that's fine. But this is why I get so excited when I see, you know, as we've talked about on this show and more over and over again, about, you know, the new breed of say lefties and progressives and Democrats kind of that are emerging, that are beginning to kind of form really powerful caucuses in the state. And this is why I think it's, you know, it's important that you've got someone like Representative Kruger and Representative Kincaid in there kind of asking these questions. Right. Now we need kind of even more of those folks, right, that are going to ask even harder questions. And I have to say, one of my biggest disappointment of these hearings was the fact that the elephant in the room, which is what Dan was alluding to, kind of at his call in, the elephant in the room is like, look, the problem is the legislature. Right. And I thought Representative Schroyer was going to do this there, basically call out the Republicans and say, you people are sinking this thing. But he, you know, he pulled up. He kept his powder dry, as they say. Anyways, that's what I got. That's what I got on that score. Yeah, so if anybody else has got anything else they want to kind of jump in, I'd love to hear your comments. You can drop them in kind of the YouTube chat. You can drop them in the Discord. I think I did kind of send out that invite. I'll drop that invite in again. Down in there, just so people want to continue the conversation afterwards. So on the other thing, what Dan had said, so this answered one of my big questions on the tech end of things tonight, right? On the tech end of things, what basically, here's what I'm trying to do. Let me kind of go geek on you for a moment. I'm trying to actually run two systems at once. And I see, Nick, that you're calling in now. We're going to give this a shot. You might have to kind of listen through Riverside instead of YouTube. We're going to try it. Nick is calling in right now. Let's take his call. Hey, Nick, can you hear me? Okay, I'm not hearing you, Nick.
There you go. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, now I got you.
Okay, cool, cool.
Are you getting a delay right now?
I am just through Riverside right now. So
you're logged into Riverside and you're not even looking at YouTube.
No.
So you're looking at, and can you see me right now, or you just got audio?
I can see you.
Okay. So now that this is our notice to everybody else out there. So we learn as we go. And Nick was good enough. We've been back and forth a little bit saying like, hey, I'll hop on. I'm sure I'll call. I'll try it out to kind of figure this out. So basically what I was trying to be able to do is I was going to try to keep our regular branding over on our YouTube page. So we had the backdrop. We could display the Discord and so on. But then to do the recording and the call-in stuff through Riverside. On our Wednesday show, which we're going to be dropping this Wednesday, will be our first show. We're just going to actually live stream it directly from Riverside, which should kind of prevent kind of this delay and stuff that we're seeing now. Yes, Dan said you got to unmute the mic in Riverside, and he says Nick is doing a much better job than he did. So, Nick,
man, I try.
Hey, welcome, Nick. Nick wrote a great editorial in the Westchester University, or co-wrote, I should say, Westchester University newspaper, and we're gonna have him on as a guest to talk about this at some point. But Nick, what's on your mind?
Yeah, no, I just figured I'd add in with some of the stuff that you were saying. I agree. I thought Rep. Kincaid did a great job of sort of illustrating a lot of the questions and concerns that, you know, people have. And, you know, Dan, of course, you know, he didn't answer that. That's not his point. That's not what he's there to do. As, you know, I've heard him say time and time again that he doesn't believe in anything other than the data. He wants the data to show us where to go. But of course, when you have data that is sort of created to, as you sort of said, like a certain conclusion, then, you know, that's what's going to happen. Or if you, you know, don't have a certain conclusion in mind, right? For instance, I'll use the analogy of I always love The Wire. I don't know if you've ever seen The Wire,
yes.
Right? So you know, there's the one episode where, you know, I forget whatever, like precinct captains or whatnot, where they're, you know, having to meet their quotas of, you know, however, you know, many people that they need to arrest, or, you know, this, that, whatever, or, you know, trying to limit the amount of crime that, you know, happens. So then what does one of them do? They decide, you know what, I'm going to make a drug-free zone in a certain area because I'm going to, you know, be able to eliminate, you know, like a lot of the crime that's, you know, going to be happening. I'm going to be able to, you know, like keep things under wraps here, this, that, and the other thing. Now, not like that I think, you know, doing something like that with any actual other like precautions in place, you know, can be the best thing at times, but I think to myself, you know, bring it back to like college, if we don't ever have in mind the idea of trying to make college for all, then no, we're not going to think of that as the solution to, you know, the enrollment numbers declining, even though it's not actually been declining. As Dr. Martin said, it's been a bell curve since, you know, like the year 2000. Things like that, or even as Dan said in the Board of Governors meeting, which I like, you know, wrote down sort of exactly what he said, which I laughed at, was he kind of, when he was explaining the need or whatnot, or, you know, like looking at, you know, people's comments, he was talking about how we're all a part of a family, and, you know, family members have, you know, different views on topics and things, and, you know, this and that, but he doesn't even understand the fundamental point of politics, that it's not views that people have, it's interests. It is direct interests that people have. You know, the people who are, you know, the most wealthy people in Pennsylvania, they have an interest to not pay as much in taxes. People who are not doing as well financially have an interest to try to get as many services as they can from, you know, the communities, such as a higher education,
right,
to be able to, you know, get them where they need to go. I don't know. Feel free if you want
to. No, yeah, yeah. So, like, you know, but I would say, like, you know, to keep the family metaphor, like, I think it's only fair to say that, you know, like, sometimes you just got to, you know, some of these family members, you just got to cut loose. I mean, they're, you know, they're a drag on the family, yeah. Right? They're embarrassing, right? You know,
you have the black sheep. You just got to let them go.
Let's be fair. It's more of a flock, right? It's more of a flock right. You've got it. You know, it's a micro flock, really, that, you know, really, that they just give the whole family a bad name. Right. So you just got to, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, because we would like for them to be successful individuals in our brand new world order. But, you know, sometimes you just got to let them go.
And I'll also add in.
Every wolf needs to eat. OK.
Very true. Very true. I'll also even add in my own, you know, frustrations with Dan and such. Right. One of his most recent tweets, because I just always look back or, you know, whatnot. One, I had listened to part of his, like, thing with the Hunt Institute, which I looked into. They're funded by the Bezos Family Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, so on and so forth, you know, regular, you know, people, right? and then we have, he tweeted out an article by, I'm assuming, a good friend of his, Jeff Rakes, who has the Rakes Foundation, which I looked up. Him and his wife have this foundation where it's like 500, they have like a net worth of like $500 million. They have this foundation to, you know, try to do good things. I pull up their tax returns from 2018. The simplest things that I can do, it's like, I didn't even have to like dig for more than 5 minutes, find their tax returns, notice, okay, they don't get paid anything, right? But everyone else who works for them gets paid $175,000 a year, not including benefits, and up, right? And then I look and I find that one of the top contractors that they have is a company that they helped co-partner like in creating and has only been around for 4 years. And these are tax returns from 2018. So I think this was like its like second year maybe of starting. And they were giving them $1.5 million or, you know, like whatever dollars.
Yep.
And it's just like, okay. This is what we know happens. Anyone like Chancellor Dan or anyone in their circles only has the idea to, you know, that the way that we help the world is through these foundations where we have our names, we do great things, and not actually providing for everyone through the state in any.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you know this book. I plug this book all the time by the Anand Giridharadas. Giridharadas. I don't know if you know. It's called Winners Take All. You got to read this book. You'll love it. It's called Winners Take All. I plug this book all the time. The guy is one of the best communicators, in my view, of, say, like what we would call the broad left, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense that he can go on and, you know, he spent all this time in that TED Talk world, right? And he spent a lot of time, right, doing research in these like giant kind of philanthropic organizations and kind of knows the logic. Right. Everything's supposed to be a win-win. Right. So we can pass this money over here as long as our thing, our way of being never has to change. Right. Which the irony, of course, the only reason these people have billions of dollars is because we've eliminated those kind of like costs, quote unquote, right. Redistributed wealth from public institutions to these private actors so they can go around and kind of trickle it down on us. Right. And that's all it's about. And it's and I tell this story. I've told this story before, but. After I finished reading Giridharadas' book, I was listening to it on audiobook, and I kind of was on my drive to Kutztown, and just so happened Greenstein was making his college tours, and he was speaking at Kutztown that day, right? And I just, this was kind of like a happy coincidence in some ways. So I finished reading the book, and I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly it. And I go in to listen to this guy talk in the forum, and the words from the book were coming out of this guy's mouth. Right. I'm like, holy crap. Right. This is it. Right. And then but I have to say is like the challenge is then turning to other people and to try to kind of like share that experience. Right. And to say, like, look, I understand that this guy puts on a smile. His daughter calls on her cell phone in the middle of his talk, and he's got to take it, right? She's on a bike ride and blah, blah.
Wow.
You know, he's got to tell all these stories, and he's got the charm offensive. And that's the shiny thing that keeps us from actually paying attention to the stuff just like that you're paying attention to, Mm-hmm. Right. But we say, like, hey, where's this guy from? Who are his friends? You know, it's funny. I did the same thing when I saw he spoke at the Hunt Institute. I'm like, the Hunt Institute? What the hell is a Hunt Institute?
Yeah.
Let me go find out. And you find out, you're like, yeah, okay, that didn't take long.
No, no. And it even makes me think, I look back at the, like, you know, from this and look back at sort of like the 2020 election to an extent. You know, something which I like definitely knew, but not as many, you know, people maybe know or don't know, of just so many of the like platitudes and pablum that's just sort of spewed out by, you know, like any one of the Democrats that ran in, you know, 2020, you know, minus Bernie Sanders, that was my, you know, kind of fave in that way. Right. But, and, you know, like the rhetoric of things that don't, that just sound nice, but like don't mean anything, like the what was it that Pete Buttigieg said? It was like, you know, our greatest challenge is like the shape of our democracy is the issue that affects all other issues.
It's a polygon.
Yes. and then you think to yourself, like, wow. And then you step back and you're like, wait, what? What does that mean? What does anything mean? You know, so, I mean, it's the same thing with Dan, because he continues to say these things, and you hear Chairwoman Shapiro say again and again, wow, that was so inspirational. And then you just want to be like, you know, the two guys at Office Space asking Dan what his job is, when that's what he basically is sending people out to do to the PASCHE system as a whole.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you coming and taking some time. And like, and so if you want to hear more of this, just keep your eye out and we'll have you on. I sent you an email back too as well to see if we can kind of find a date and we can get together. It'd be fantastic. Nick, I appreciate you calling in, man, and look forward to talking more.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Yeah,
you got
definitely.
It.
Thanks.
All right. Take it easy. All right. Phones are open once again, everybody. Dan Spiegel. So, you know, one of the things we do talk about at our Friday show is that it is space news. And Dan Spiegel just said, time to go watch the rocket launch. I don't know which rocket is launching now. And I'm embarrassed to say that. So I'd love to know which one is launching. And it is also a good thing, right, that we did not get hit by the Chinese, the Chinese rocket that came crashing and ended up in the Indian Ocean just west of the Maldives. That was good. I know that caused anxiety and kind of and weird excitement in multiple locations, including my home. Right, just being like, where is this thing gonna go? I'm tracking a thing, whatever it might be. But yeah, the kind of call-in is open again once on Riverside too as well, as is the Discord and as is the chat. For here. So thank you all for taking some time out tonight. I know it's been a little bit of a ride, and that was kind of, you know, I mean, in all honesty, and that's kind of what I was telegraphing, I guess, about tonight's show anyways. I wasn't exactly sure how these things were going to play itself out, but we shall see. So one thing I learned is that instead of trying to run two cameras and two systems, that I'm just going to go ahead and stream the Riverside directly to YouTube. That's number one. And number two is that there is a delay on YouTube, right? So basically right now, the way I've got, I'm just going to look at it right now, the way I've got it set up is that it's got low latency. There's a little bit of a delay between what's coming out of my mouth and then what's actually kind of showing up on YouTube. So I think that's one of the delays and one of the issues that you run into when we're trying to do this. But hopefully we'll go, you know, over the next several weeks, we'll kind of get some of the kinks out. I'm hoping to get that out. So let me just tell before, I know that folks are going to, I'm looking at the time now and kind of we're coming up to our close of our normal hour anyways. But I want to let everybody know what our new show is going to be on Wednesday. So on Wednesdays, a matter of fact, right after I get off the show, I was having some tech issues, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, or I actually was talking about this on the Discord. I had a bunch of tech issues we have there, and it was kind of a pre-show or a prep for our Wednesday show, and so we ran into this big. But if you haven't heard him already, is that we have Cyril Michaleko. He is a new columnist for the Bucks County Courier Times and the Intelligencer. The Intelligencer is the newspaper kind of Bucks County based out of Doylestown. It's kind of like the paper of record of Bucks County, if you will. For years, he grew up in this area, and for years, the newspapers have been dominated by these right-wing columnists, not just like conservative columnists, but like right-wing columnists. And then the counter to them was kind of like middle of the road, kind of like, you know, moderate Republicans, right? So eventually, after years of arguing with these folks, they eventually agreed to give him a column. So now he's writing a column over there from an overtly progressive perspective. I had him on the show a little bit while back. Since he's located in, well, he's right now, he's not in Bucks County right now, but he's kind of will be back in the summer. And we've been kind of trying to build a little something here in Bucks County, right? So we thought that, okay, you know, you're pulling out these columns, we're going to plug them. Why don't we have you on once in a while? He said, yeah, the more we got talking about it, it's like, well, maybe we'll see if we can make this a kind of quasi-regular thing. So beginning this Wednesday, we're going to try it out. We're going to launch our – to be like our soft launch of that first show on Wednesdays. We hope to make it a regular thing. And it the plan at this time, at least, is that it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show, right? We're going to try to keep it a tight show because, you know, our Friday show, we end up kind of hour and a half to 2 hours. Despite my best efforts, I mean, I sit there and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're pretty tight today. And I look at that, I'm like, oh my God, an hour and 40 minutes that went. I thought it was a short show. So we're going to try to keep it tight. We're going to try to, with the idea that if we have these kind of, say, half hour, 40 minute segments or 45 minute segments, that's something that's either easily transferable or broken up. We've also been talking about not just with Cyril, but some other folks too, about trying to do some collaborative work, maybe in terms of producing some podcast shows and things like this. I also know one of the plans for the summer. I don't know if Shanna is still on or not, but or if Jillian is. But one of the things that I want to do over the summer, or I just finished all my grading today, so I'm like. Like elated. I'm actually going to be able to drink a beer tonight. I'm very excited. But I finally got that done. I can put that behind me now and now kind of really focus on building. And one of the things I would love to do, I've been dying to do right from the get-go. When I first heard about the Sisters of the Night Caucus podcast, I was like totally psyched. I'm total fanboy on this and want to have some of them on and to do a show. Talk about, I don't know, podcasting, politics, you know, whatever it may be, right? I mean, I'll do that in collaboration with them, to have them on the show, something that we can kind of push out from all our audiences would be the idea, because that's always been my vision. It's always been my dream of Raging Chicken is like, you know, this is like my point of entry into like progressive politics. I guess, you know, I've come to realize, I guess, over the past 6 months or so, that this is really my sweet spot in many ways. It's like I'm a better agitator than anything else. I'm an okay organizer, although I can already hear people say, "No, oh, you're a good I know good organizers, right? And I'll tell you what, good organizers are a heck of a lot more organized than I am. Let me put it that way. I know good organizers, right? And I know well enough that I'm not one of them, right? I'm great as a team of organizers, right? Fantastic. I can kind of lead stuff. I can do that, right? I was our strike chair, but I'll tell you right now, I couldn't have done our strike chair without Colleen Fitzgerald, right? Who Colleen Fitzgerald, like, she basically laid out this kind of like communication infrastructure, right? And was like kind of amazing. I couldn't have done it without Mike Gambone. Mike Gambone was our picket chair, who went and kind of and kept the records and kept everything kind of keep on going, right? It's like, you know, no, I served on that team. I was the agitator, right? And for whatever reason and for whatever kind of genetic makeup and historic makeup or whatever it might be, that's where it puts me in a sweet spot. You know, like, I'm willing to get in people's faces about stuff. I don't really care if I get fired. You know, all that kind of stuff is just has been built into my constitution as long as I remember, right? And so this space, right, is, you know, now with kids and, you know, kind of juggling all these different things, trying to find a space where we could do this. This is one that's really been fantastic. And so the idea of kind of building that out and finding ways of reaching out and connecting up and say collaborating with other podcasts, or even just, and I mean collaboration, even at the level of, you know, just like, you know, blasting out their stuff, right? About kind of giving people shout outs, right? You know, encouraging people to support each other. I mean, my belief is that, you know, and, you know, I talked about this with Joshua Probanek, who was on the show, was it last Monday? He's, you know, the documentary filmmaker for the for Invisible Hand. He's also one of the co-founders with Melissa Troutman of, she was the co-creator and co-director of Invisible Hand, co-founder with Melissa Troutman and both of those projects of a Public Herald, investigative nonprofit. And one of the things that we talked about too as well towards the end of the show was about, you know, this kind of finding these spaces for mutually reinforcing kind of independent media, because, you know, like it or not, we don't have the millionaires that are kind of, you know, dropping bags of money in our pockets, right? No, we have each other. Right. And so, yes, I mean, I'll go out and support other podcasts, right? You know, monetarily, I'll plug them in the shows. Like, I mean, you hear like at the top of the show, I'm plugging Rick Smith. I'm plugging Sisters of the Night, right? It's like, I'm just doing that, right? Nobody's giving me money for that. It's like an ad, right? It's like, I want other people to see their stuff too, because I think they're important for different reasons, you know, but they're both great. That's what we should be doing. Right. And same thing with, you know, with the gay men. Right. You know, I know this family. There's a freaking amazing family. They got a great little business going. And so I'm going to support them, too, as well. That's what we got to do. Anyways, I'm going way off on a tangent. So anyways, Wednesday, it's going to be Wednesday morning. I think we've got it. If I have it right, I believe it's 10 o'clock. It might be 11 o'clock. As soon as Cyril and I get off the phone, we're going to talk in a minute. I'll launch out what the time is and kind of announce that to everybody. But that's going to be exciting. So if we're probably going to do it as a biweekly basis, and then I'm going to have some of these short like snippet shows with the idea that, you know, people might not be able to sit around or want to sit around for a 2-hour show or even a 1-hour show. But if you give them something that's a little smaller that you can kind of break up, would be fantastic. I also, you know, looking for collabs, like, you know, with Nick sent me that email about kind of looking to, you know, this great, you know, it was out of the blue. I don't know, Nick. I mean, he sent me this, you know, thing. Hey, we wrote this editorial on it. It's freaking fantastic. And now, you know, again, seeking building of a collaboration. This is great. So, yeah. So anyways, that's what we got. If anybody else has got anything else you want to kind of jump on, you want to kind of try a call in, I'd love to hear from you. If you got a comment you want to respond to, I'd be absolutely thrilled about that, too, as well. We didn't even get a chance really to talk about, or I didn't kind of bring it up yet, about the, I guess I brought it up at the very beginning, about our Christian nationalist in chief right here in PA. If you haven't checked it out, I'll try to remember to put it in the show notes. There's this article right here that just came out in the New Yorker. It's called A Pennsylvania Lawmaker and the Resurgence of Christian Nationalism. It's by Eliza Griswold, who's just a phenomenal writer, right off the bat. She wrote this fantastic piece by digging into this Christian nationalism and saying that, you know, good old Doug Mastriano, right, who is one of the, well, I don't know if he's still a favorite, but he is one of the favorites of to be the Republican nominee for the governor. We'll see. After his connections with some of these white nationalists and these QAnon people, that may have been put in a little jeopardy or not. We shall see. But definitely check this out. Pennsylvania Lawmaker and the Resurgence of Christian Nationalism by Eliza Griswold in New Yorker was fantastic. You got some great PA sources that are mentioned in it too as well. I absolutely love it. He's got the I don't know if you've seen the appeal to the heavens, right? It's this pine tree flag. You may have seen this at some of these right wing rallies that are going on. Well, he's got one on his front on his office door. He's been seen with these folks over here, and he's actively cultivating, you know, the worst of the conspiracy theorists are out there. So, you know, I'm glad to see pieces like this pieces come up. So that's great. Let me see. Nick, if I got this right, I'm just checking out his email. That'd be birthday time for us next week. So it might be next week. It might be next Monday that we'll have Nick on. Is that right? Yeah, let's see if he comes up here. Let me see. Anyways, his co-author is Alex Carlesis, and we'll probably have them both on the show. Okay, excellent. So that next week, look forward to hearing more from Nick, and hopefully we're going to have all the tech kinks worked out by then, so I'm not trying to do 45 things at once. You know, ironically, when I set out to, you know, with the setup I've got right now, where I've got, you know, I'm running through OBS, I'm running the sound and mic through OBS, I got a second camera that's coming up there, that I've got a Riverside going in, doing the high quality recording, and I thought this was going to streamline things, but it turns out that I just made like more work for myself. So I'm just gonna, I'm gonna have to just kind of bite the bullet and go full on Riverside, I think, for this, but we shall see. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. I really appreciate it. Next week, you'll see the info coming out for Nick. One other thing I wanna mention is that we will not have a show on Friday. Sean is gonna be out of town, and I'm probably it would have been a short show anyways for me, but he's going to be out of town, so we're going to postpone that. We may drop something Monday, like Monday morning, or we might just wait and for a week after that and focus on the Out to Coop Live stuff. So anyways, thank you for joining my mess of a show tonight. But I shouldn't have apologized, because I should apologize to you, I guess, because you all have to, you know, you're all hearing this and you're like, oh my God, this is a mess. But on my end, this is awesome, right? Got to talk to a bunch of folks here, got to try some things out in real time, find out things that work, things that didn't work. Felt like a little bit of a celebration. Anyways, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Want to thank you all for turning out once again. And we want to remind you that on Wednesday, look for it every place. Look on our Twitter account at RC Press. Join us on Discord. And we'll have our new show with Cyril Michaleko on Wednesday. And we'll see you next Monday. We'll have Nick and Alex. See ya! My face, my arm.